producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We were going to talk here about female power in light of the new Supergirl TV show.
Yeah.
Where all the most powerful people there are all women. Of course, we have Supergirl. We have her boss at work, Kat Grant, who's this queen of all media, she calls herself. And then we've got her foster sister, who's a spy and a doctor. All powerful, powerful women. We should have more women on this show, Chris.
We're working on it. I met Phyllis Buttinger while at the Skyfire Summit. She's someone that I've been wanting to meet for decades. She's one of the few scientists willing to get involved in the paranormal. And she's a female, which I think...
If she's a she, she's a female.
Yeah, she's female.
Okay, let's get her on the show then.
Okay. Yeah, I've got her number. Also, Nancy DeTetre, we're having on, who had to talk to an alien. She's got a PhD from, I think, a Ivy League school.
She'll be interviewed in the middle of December.
Correct.
We have her all set.
And, of course, we had Marie Jones on fairly recently, and we're talking about having Kathleen Martin back to further examine the state of the abduction field.
I think she's a good middle-of-the-road person for that.
I think
we need responsibility because we've had so many extremes here that if we don't bring it back to the center, we're never going to resolve anything there.
And we also have Susan Gordon, who was a long-time Tucson resident, was involved, I think, with APRO in the 80s, was very close with Jim Delatosa, and Wendell Stevens is an experiencer. She was married for a long time to Peter Gersten, who was one of the main movers and shakers in the 70s and 80s behind Cause with Larry Bryant. And she's a horse whisperer now. It'd be very interesting to get her on the show. She's met a lot of people over the years and has a lot of inside cool insider stories.
Well, we can check off the boxes here. Female, black, Asian, Muslim, Buddhist, E.T. I don't know if we can get the E.T., though.
Is that really on the census?
I don't know.
I'd have to check that box.
Well, this would basically fit in the proper degree of, shall we say, diversity.
Yeah.
You know, we get some pretty wacky letters here at the Paracast.
Oh, boy.
And you know which one
I'm going to mention. Yeah, I've had my run into this Yahoo before.
Okay, he says you are a UFO ET debunker, a CIA asset. And he was about to say something else about that. So I want to know here.
No, go ahead. Continue reading. Continue. He knows he can prove that I am an intelligence operative. And what else did he say? He's going to out me?
Something like that, yeah.
If I'm a CIA asset, then why the heck am I driving a 10-year-old car and I'm not on the payroll? I mean...
What happened is the Republican Party saw the bill for CIA and it said Chris O'Brien on it.
Line item veto.
They gave you a line item veto. And look at this here. He says also, wait. And if I ever manage to accumulate sufficient hardcore evidence to prove your, meaning me, Zio-Nazi Mossad CIA connection, he may publish it all anyway.
Very interesting. I don't know what to say. I mean, I've been accused of that before. It comes with the territory. Whenever you don't, you know, spout the true believer line, of course, someone named Light Dancing, that kind of gives away some of the potential emotional issues that may be there. When you take more of a rational, sort of, you know, healthily skeptical stand in this field, it invariably will end up with somebody out there saying, oh, he's just a disinformation agent. He's just a, He's a spook. He's this. He's that. Greg Bishop has been called that. Nick Redfern, Nick Pope. Some more possibly warranted than others. In my case, I've never worked for the government knowingly. I have no plans to work for the government. I've never have been asked by them to supply data to them. My data is open to anybody that wants to look at it. It always has been. I live as transparently as I can, especially in this morass of ufology. It's a full-time job just keeping out of everyone's way, only opening your mouth when it's appropriate, although I still struggle with that at times. But just to reassure our audience, I would like to believe, and I rarely use that word as most of you know, but I would like to believe that I am part of the solution, not part of the problem. And I don't think right now our government or anything having to do with UFOs and our government is part of any solution until the playing field gets and the pieces on the playing field get reset a little bit. That's why our last show with Mark Rodiger and Leslie Kane, I think, is important because it shows a grassroots effort to come up with data. I'm still a little concerned about the transparency of that data, but it in theory, this whole thing, this UFO data thing, looks like a good step in the right direction. And I'm going to be speaking further with Mark about some possible affiliations with the San Luis Valley Camera Project. So this is all good, positive news, and has nothing to do with, at least to my knowledge, to any sort of government or intelligence agency type stuff, as none of my work has for 20 plus years.
By the way, just as you were saying that, I got an email from one of our listeners volunteering to help with the camera project. And he says he lives 2 hours from the valley. So you'll be getting that email when you check it in a few moments. But it's promising. We're getting these contacts from people. They're really psyched about this, about the possibility finally of getting real evidence of what the UFOs are.
Right.
And I did also hear from Mark Rodiger just the other day. He said he'll be getting in touch with you shortly.
Right.
So,
and Mark D'Antonio, who we had on fairly recently, is going to be speaking this weekend down at Phoenix MUFON, and I'm going to try to carve out some time to go down there and re-solidify, our conversations that we had some months ago before his illness. So, yeah, there's a lot of forward motion. Another thing to kind of whet everybody's appetite, hopefully by the time this show airs, we will have our first video up on the video channel, which will be just sort of a panorama and an overview of our recent trip to the confluence of the Grand Canyon with the drone pilot. And it's taken me 2 days to down convert the files from 4,000 lines of resolution to a manageable 1080i.
It's going to look good. We're going to test how best to present it online. This is going to be strictly for people who are members of PowerCast Plus.
Correct.
Let me tell you about that. We recently had a small price increase, but it starts now at $6 a month. And I checked, and I think Mysterious Universe is charging $9 a month, so we're pretty cheap. In fact, like Mad Magazine, our price, cheap, that kind of thing. Go to plus.thepowercast.com, plus.thepowercast.com. Check out our package, which includes the ad-free version of this show after the PowerCast. We've got a couple of show transcripts on there, complete show transcripts of two of our most popular episodes. And we'll be getting more. A lot to come. Plus.thepowercast.com, free ebooks for long-term memberships, and the video that Chris has mentioned. Now, today we've got another great episode, Solid UFO Research. One of the co-authors of Return to Magonia, Chris Aubeck, is back. The subtitle, Investigating UFOs in History. And this is a fascinating book, not a huge book, but one with lots and lots of documentation. Right. Where they're doing solid UFO research. And we're going to explain kind of where it's going when we start our interview with Chris. He was on the show before where he did a book that he co-authored with Jacques Vallée, and now he's just keeping at it. So this is really, really good. and it's going to be one of our best episodes yet. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
I want to be able to smoke inside, cut down on cigarettes, jog without wheezing, be kissable, and save money.
Then you want the Stig e-cigarettes. Get the highest quality, best tasting vaping experience on the market with unmatched customer service from the Stig. And right now, gobble up this deal. Buy $30 worth of any products and get a starter kit for only $5. Use code SK at checkout. But hurry, offer good only until Thanksgiving at LeSig.com. LeSig.com. Kick some ash with LeSig.
Attention, all men. Are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Are you having a slower, weaker stream? Don't ignore the warning signs of your aging prostate. Get your free bottle of Super Beta Prostate. Super Beta Prostate is guaranteed to support a more complete emptying of your bladder, a fuller, stronger stream, and less waking at night to urinate.
Super Beta Prostate is a product that I really like. I endorse it. I use it myself. I was very pleasantly surprised that Super Beta Prostate helped me fairly quickly.
Super Beta Prostate is formulated with a natural plant enzyme called beta-sitosterol. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 salt palmetto pills to get the same sterols as just one Super Beta Prostate tablet. Don't ignore the warning signs of your aging prostate. Call now to get your free bottle of Super Beta Prostate. Call 1-800-853-1203. That's 1-800-853-1203. 800-853-1203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lung. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We're joined on this episode of the Paracast by Chris Aubeck, co-author of Return to Magonia, Investigating UFOs in History. And just before we started the episode, we were experimenting on the best way for Chris to talk to us on Skype. He's currently using an iPad, and it comes across pretty solid, pretty good audio. In fact, better audio than his MacBook Air. And Chris and I were wondering here, as we attempted to communicate with Chris Aubeck, what would happen if we just did a show where we turned off the speaker so we couldn't hear anybody else, and we just answered, responded the way we felt. Of course, we'd overlap each other, but it would be like free-form conversation. Three people speaking at random what came into their minds, and I don't know, I guess we'd end up like the U.S. Congress, because they keep talking at each other and nobody communicates.
Political glossolalia.
Sounds good to me. I can do that.
Okay. Now that sounds good. That sounds good. I wanted to read something from the introduction to Return to Magonia, written by Jacques Vallée. And he's mentioning here Dr. J. Allen Hynek. And this is interesting here. He was talking about Hynek's early involvement in UFOs, where he, of course, was recruited by the Air Force to screen and investigate the reports. And I'm quoting here from Vallée's introduction. And this kind of forms a basis of where we're going with this subject, and then we'll explore all the case histories that Chris Aubeck has worked on and maybe recite a few of them here. So here's what Jacques says about Dr. Hynek. What he discovered convinced him that much valuable material existed in those apparently unscientific stories. He also recognized that the most popular theories, such as the hypothesis that we were visited by extraterrestrials, were too simplistic and superficial to account for the complexity of the sightings that resisted natural explanation. Now, Chris Aubeck, do you agree with us here that maybe the biggest problem in doing UFO research is we're looking for simple answers that can be described in a one-sentence soundbite?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think one of the problems is that when I speak to people or when they write to me, they often say, hi, I'm a UFO researcher. And I say, hello. And I say, well, how long have you been researching UFOs? And they say, well, since I was 8. And I say, okay, that's great. That's a long time. And they normally tell me that their only real experience with research is reading other UFO books, also written by people who've been researching since the age of 8 or 9. And the problem with this is that what we really need are researchers who go either into the field and start looking for actual answers or at least interview witnesses, or people like me, probably, who are willing to spend a long time in libraries searching for answers in historical books and newspapers and so on. Because it's such a complex question. Ufology embraces so many different fields. You have to know something about linguistics and physics, meteorology, history, sociology, how folklore works, and so on. It's just such an interesting and complex machine that, yeah, it's impossible to search for simplistic answers.
Why do you think so many people believe UFOs just to be spaceships? They don't look at the history. They don't look at all the complexities. They don't look at the exceptions. Is it because it's too complex or because people are so busy just trying to survive they don't have the time?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both. It's a lot easier to be fed information about UFOs than to research them yourself from scratch. I mean, to research a UFO case from scratch, you either have to approach a witness or, as I said, to go to a library and get very deep into some very old and brittle documents, possibly from 50 years ago or from before that. People don't really have time to do this kind of thing, to do this kind of work, so they wait until somebody gives them the information on a plate, on a tray. This is where the problem begins, because if there's not much active researching going on, and when I say research, I mean from zero, from the most basic facts, from one person's written testimony, for example, then we are influenced by the biases of the researchers who give us that information already developed into a thesis or an article or a book. Because there's a lot of pressures in this field to become a published writer, to make some amount of money, even if it's a tiny amount, but at least to do something that makes it seem worthwhile. In the end, ufology is delivered as a package of like a product, and that product will have a label on it, like aliens or ghosts or poltergeists or something like that, which, I don't know, it finally means that people are very much influenced by the way the UFOs are packaged. And I think that what we have to do is to get back to the roots of research, get back to how we should approach such a complex scientific issue.
I sometimes say we should just throw ufology out the window and start again.
I think that you could throw a lot of ufologists out of the window. I don't know about ufology itself.
I can give you a list. Of course, some people want to throw me out, but that's another story.
Yeah, well, that's not out the window, Jim, because you won't live on a second floor, so it's out with the trash or out somehow. I don't know, out with the dog.
Well, you know, I don't mind living on the second floor, but my wife is still recovering from the knee surgery. That's it.
Right. Well,
otherwise, it doesn't matter.
I'd like to add to what Chris said was that this might sound a little jaundiced and a bit jaded, but if your culture tries to tell you that it's true, chances are it's not. So I bet you a gambling man could look at everything that these TV shows tell you about UFOs and then assume the opposite and probably be right more often than if he bought into everything that he was being programmed with. Culture is not our friend. Culture is everything we don't have to believe in.
Well, that's true. And, you know, I've also appeared on the History Channel. And I wasn't very happy about the way that program was produced. It was a series of documentaries, and it was in Spanish. It was edited in such a way that I ended up saying things on screen which I didn't really say at all, but at least not in that order.
That's happened to Chris a few times, Chris O'Brien. By the way, before we go on, we should call Chris by his birth name, KK, because otherwise the Chris and the Chris is going to just drive us crazy. But he's mentioned a few times, too, going on these TV shows, and they take you out of context, or they need to find, again, the talking point. They do that with interviews of politicians, where someone says something in one sentence, you didn't build that, which has nothing to do, of course, with UFOs. It was about a comment on it takes a village and industry in the presidential campaign in 2012, but they distorted the comment by taking one sentence. You can do that with anything. You take one sentence, and I could be saying things you don't want to hear, and I won't mention those sentences because they'll do it. We have Chris Aubeck, co-author of a new book called Return to Magonia. More to come with Gene and KK. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
There are hundreds of silver products on the market today, but there's nothing like the astonishing health benefits of the multi-patented One Silver Solution. Boost your immune system at a great price with our Silver Solution Liquid, starting at $12.95 a bottle. Now available in regular and extra strength. That's half the price of the leading competitors. Call 844-USILVER for your free catalog, or go to OneSilverSolution.com. OneSilverSolution.com. There is only one Silver Solution.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we are covering the book Return to Magonia, Investigating UFOs in History, co-authored by Chris Aubeck. Chris, before we go on, can you tell us about your co-author and how you and he got involved?
Yeah, I approached Martin Schoff several years ago after reading some of his work on UFO cases on the internet. I was impressed by his very broad knowledge of science, geography, meteorology, and so on, which he applies to very complex UFO sightings involving radars and other cases like that. He has a website. You can see some of his work there. It's quite impressive. And Martin's methodology and mine work together in tandem to examine historic UFO sightings to bits, really. He's one of the people who's had the most influence over how I approach research, which can get very technical in areas. We should never lose sight of the fact that we are studying physical phenomena that interact with the real world, so we need to use all the tools and knowledge that science provides. It's what makes us very meticulous, particularly in this book. But, you know, this kind of proper detective work does pay off every time. So when I approached Martin, having seen the kind of work that he's done, I thought, this is exactly what I need. We can work together, we can collaborate on a study of some of the best cases in history, and we can analyze them to bits. That's exactly what we've done. He was a member of Magonia Exchange, my research group on the internet, for many years, and he's contributed some amazing observations to historical cases over the years. So I think he's a really great asset.
Okay, so going with this, starting this book project, what were your goals?
What we wanted to do was to have a look at historical cases in a different way. As we say in the introduction, there are these two polar opposites in the UFO debate. On the one hand, there are people who see UFOs everywhere and throughout time, who see the phenomenon as something that's been around since Mesopotamia and has never gone away. Then there are the people who refuse to accept that anything anomalous has been seen anywhere at all, ever. And they treat UFOs as another folkloric motif, alongside flying carpets and winged horses. What we do is to take a third approach. We have absolutely no bias in this field. I mean, I personally don't mind if all UFOs turn out to be atmospheric phenomena or misinterpretations or hoaxes or even little grey men. My interest lies in how human belief systems have developed over time, how folklore and fake lore influence people's ideas and decision-making. If I find out one of the cases that interests me was actually or probably an anomaly, I consider that a bonus. And what we do in Return to Magonia is to collect 20 or so cases that do represent anomalies, and we explain why they're anomalous at great length.
All right, so we're looking at UFOs now, not as spaceships, but as something that is, as you say, anomalous. So,
that's right.
Physical in nature.
Right, so a physical anomaly. Can we maybe look at one case, describe one typical case, and explain what is anomalous about it, what is so strange, and what seems to make it unusual?
Well, for example, in Chapter 2 of the book, we talk about a case that occurred in the year 1665. And it's very interesting. Basically, a series of objects were seen flying in the sky near the German city of Stralsund in April 1665. The report mentions ships, flocks of birds, fire and smoke. But there was also a dark plate or hat-shaped object that hovered over the church of St. Nicholas for an hour. And there are plenty of witnesses, including several fishermen, who afterwards complained of physical problems, including like trembling and pain in their hands and feet. And what we found out is that the contemporary illustrations were pretty good. And combined with the time and the date, we know what was going on in the sky at the time, because what we use, what we've used throughout this book is a digital planetarium. So basically, we're calculating the positions of the stars, the planets, the sun, the moon, in the sky for any time on any date throughout history. Because in this case, we have the exact time, we have the exact date, we're able to calculate the positions of all of the celestial bodies. So we can definitely rule out the sun or the moon or stars, planets, and sun dogs. So we thought maybe it'll have to do with clouds or flocks of starlings, which sometimes can form strange shapes in the sky. But this phenomenon lasted far too long even for that. So, you know, as far as we're concerned, it's a very early sighting of a disc-shaped object in the sky with no possible explanation. I think we use about 8 or 9 pages to discuss this, and we look at it from every possible angle. I mean, what would you have to do these days, because there's so much information available to us, it's the first time in history that humanity's had access to so much data about the past. You look at the meteorological angles, you look at the astronomical angle, you look at the topography, the geology, and everything else related to a case at any time in history to reach a conclusion. So, yeah, the Stralsund disk is very interesting because there's absolutely nothing that can explain it, and the witnesses suffered from physical ailments afterwards.
It's one of the earliest, to my recollection, really bona fide and documented sightings of a disc-shaped object. I know there are stories that are earlier than this, but the amount of documentation here is very impressive.
Yeah, it is. And in fact, we published an article about this a short time ago, so it's available on the internet. So in fact, people can actually read that chapter of the book if they want to.
Mm-hmm. Well, what sort of differences do you have you delineated out from wonders in the sky? Are you seem to be concentrating on really well-documented cases in this book, as opposed to trying to supply a timeline of potentially anomalous events, as you did with Jacques Vallée and Wonders in the Sky. This one looks like you really dug into some cases of a whole cloth and really, really dug out, as you were describing, all the various angles and details.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, in Wonders in the Sky, we collected 500 of the most interesting historical UFO cases on record. And this was a massive achievement at the time in itself, because to reach 500, we had to sort through an archive of several thousand reports.
Wow.
To get the original source for practically all of them. You know, some were in Latin, others in medieval German or French. And we had an extra section on myths and legends and some very doubtful cases, but the focus was on gathering as many good UFO accounts from ancient times as we could fit into a single book. Some might say that sort of bringing hundreds of sightings from mystical and religious, scientific and historical sources together like that was to take them out of context. And, you know, they'd probably be right. We didn't provide a socio-cultural context for most of the accounts in Wonders in the Sky. However, we did make it known from the start that this was just a first step in a much bigger project,
yeah,
which is the analysis of historical records in search of parallels with modern UFO phenomena. So the first step had to be to collect all the data we could, and this itself made a fascinating book. And it's a book we will continue to revise and update in the future. But now in Return to Magonia, what Martin Schoff and I've done is to take a selection of historical accounts and analyze them from every angle possible, taking into account the sociocultural factors, physical factors, and everything else, and use all the technical resources available in the 21st century to do that. I mean, for us, it's like the next logical step after Wonders in the Sky. And I don't think anything's been published before on the subject of UFOs in history with so much detail.
Most of them just list the basic sighting and details. I agree with that. Chris Aubeck is joining us with Gene and KK. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Conspiracy Journal is your number one source for the hidden world of the weird and strange. We bring you thought-provoking and controversial material for free-thinking individuals who are seeking what is really going on in our world today. Some of this material may adversely affect you. Other pieces are meant to enlighten. Either way, be prepared to be intrigued by such things as the reality of UFOs, ghosts, strange creatures from time and space, hidden conspiracies, time travel, Nikola Tesla, suppressed technology, and a whole lot more. You can find out more by visiting our website at conspiracyjournal.com. There you can sign up for our free weekly newsletter sent directly to your email address. Find out what they don't want you to know.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey systems. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting GoBerkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Don't take a cold or flu lying down. Stand up and fight back with Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver is a natural immune system booster that is highly effective against viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Supernatural Silver is perfect for daily use and can be taken orally or used topically to keep you protected from whatever comes your way. This new technology is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver and is supported by extensive research from over 300 clinical studies at universities and independent research facilities across the country. Supernatural Silver has an exceptionally long storage life and should be an essential part of your emergency preparedness. Don't be caught off guard. Give your body the support it needs to fight off deadly pathogens that are lurking everywhere. Stock up on Supernatural Silver and give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2015 for 20% off. That's supernaturalsilver.com. Supernaturalsilver.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users, if you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Now, the first case you cited for us, I was interested in your mentioning people getting sick as a result. And we think then, of course, of the Cash Landrum case in 1980, Rendlesham in 1980. How many of the cases that you analyze and study in the book involve these side effects for people who witnessed it?
Well, in this book, we don't really concentrate on side effects very much. I mean, the main side effect really is fear. Obviously, people got very afraid, especially in the 19th century, in the early days of UFOs, you could say, because they had no idea what it was and they had nothing to compare it to. It's not as if science fiction provided a template for them to say, oh, this must be a spaceship. I'm not going to run away. I'm going to see how many tentacles they have. So people were afraid, but we don't really have any more cases in this particular book of people who suffer from ailments. We have actually written, the version of Return to Magonia that's come out is half of the cases that we've compiled so far to be published. So with any luck, in, I don't know, a few months, in a year, we could bring out the second part. And I believe there we do have some cases in which you see the physical impact on humans of UFO sightings.
Now, in terms of parallels to modern cases, to what degree do you see things that seem to be similar to one degree or another?
Well, what I really see is that it's like there's a continuation of UFO cases from ancient times up to present day. I mean, practically every component of modern ufology, whether it's a mythical component or a fake component or something that's truly there, seems to be reflected in historical cases. I mean, that includes stories about entities, whether they're floating in the sky or walking along the ground, the shapes of the vehicles, their behavior too, and how these objects seem to get around, whether it's by flying in the sky or across the ground. There are just so many different parallels between historical cases and modern ones, that it's a lot more difficult to answer the question, what are the differences? Because once we've seen how ufology's developed over the last two centuries, which is basically what my group does, Magonia Exchange, which if anyone's listening, they can always contact me and become a member quite easily. What we've been doing over the last 13 years is to look at historical sightings, compare them to modern ones. It just seems as if there isn't a very big divide. So rather than saying that there's post-1947 ufology and pre-1947 ufology, for me it's practically all just one continuation.
What are some of the earliest cases that you feel have enough documentation to, you know, sort of suggest that we are dealing with something that may have been around for millennia? I mean, what are some of the best early cases?
In the book, we start with the 17th century England, in fact. There are much earlier cases than that, and if anyone wants to check out Wonders in the Sky, you know, there's a big section on medieval cases. But because what we're looking for, Martin and I, are cases with enough data in them to analyze them properly. We start in the 17th century. In chapter one, we talk about how in England at that time, people used accounts of strange events to show that God supported their particular war or cause. And we look at the Mirabilis Annus, which was three volumes that covered just a few years in the 1660s. And we know that many of the testimonies in this collection must be fake, but we were happily surprised to find, using the digital planetarium and other sources, that many were also very accurate, too. I mean, the Mirabilis Annus doesn't just gather UFO reports. It also has accounts of unusual weather, deformed animals, marine monsters and ghosts, but 146 of them were about things in the sky. So here we have a book where we find some UFO cases from the 1660s. For example, somebody sees strange light with appendages, like legs. Other lights that move around very strangely, other lights that sort of enter water and exit water and so on. There are just so many cases in this 17th century manuscript. Then after that, in the book, we talk about Strelsen, which I described before. And then we get into the topic of lights and strange fireballs, which in Wales played a very important part in UFO history. I mean, they've been seen there since the 17th century onwards. There was an important flap of sightings in Wales, for example, in 1904 and 1905. So this is a continuation there from ancient times to the 20th century. So we look at that in quite a lot of detail. And then we look into the 18th century, and we examine a case from 1749 in which it was said that a fireball sort of came out of the sea and attacked a ship. We're beginning to find the best cases with the best data around the 17th and 18th century. That's about as far as you can push good cases in the sense that if you're trying to find cases with a date, time, known witnesses, a known location, and so on, you can't get much beyond the 17th century, unfortunately.
Yeah. We have some really good questions in our question bank where our listeners are able to post questions that we then ask our guests. And you've already answered several about, like, what's the cutoff date? What's the I didn't notice the date of the most recent case in the book.
Well, we actually take it up to the year 1947. I mean,
okay, up to the modern era. Okay.
Yeah, because in Wonders in the Sky, we had to stop somewhere. I mean, we could have added another 20 or 30 years.
But you stopped in 1882, I think, before the age of flight.
Well, yeah, we chose 1879 because it was around that time when people started reporting actual human-made aircraft in the sky, ballooning was becoming more popular, and people were trying out new designs. But then in Return to Magonia, we didn't need to stop there because we're examining the stories in such detail. So we take them right up to 1947, just before Kenneth Arnold's sighting over Mount Rainier. I mean, of course, we can go straight into 1948 and the 1950s, but then we'd be looking at modern UFO history and not historical UFOs.
And plenty of ink has been artfully spilled on that particular time period forward.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'll tell you, they get my editor who signed me for my first book said she was getting 100 book proposals a week on her desk from people about UFOs and the paranormal. So here's an interesting question, and this gets into kind of an aside you made earlier about whether we might be seeing some sort of atmospheric life form. Wade, one of our longtime posters, just passed the 4,000 postmark, too, I might add, on our forums.
And he gets a gold watch next week.
He's wondering if you've ever addressed the thinking that some people have proposed that some UFOs are thought to be biological sky critters, a la Trevor James Constable, of course, who is famous for his photographs, I think, in the 50s and 60s. I think it was about when he started using infrared film and filming what appeared to be these giant amoebas in the sky that he claimed were invisible to the naked eye and were actually living in our atmosphere. Do you have any cases, either from Wonders in the Sky or in your new book, that suggest something biological in nature?
Well, you know, that's a very interesting question because at different times in history, people have wondered if UFOs were living creatures. I mean, of course, we have the dragons and other flying monsters on the one hand, but if you look through 19th century science fiction, you find stories about lights in the sky as highly developed living beings or even souls fluttering around in the atmosphere. I mean, personally, my window into this question is through accounts of humanoid beings that actually become balls of light or fire and fly across the sky, which you can find in folklore and in alleged true accounts. So even though I personally don't look for cases of UFOs which have been interpreted as living, breathing creatures, I mean, it's always been a long tradition. And this idea that the actual UFO itself as a ball of light, when it descends to the earth, can transform into a humanoid, have some kind of interaction with people, and then at the end of that, it becomes a ball of light again and zips off into the sky.
Glenda the Good Witch.
We have to zip off right now. With Gene and KK and Glenda, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.